Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about faith and health. Now, by faith, I mean religion, and the world is a complicated place at the moment. It's awful to watch what's going on in the Middle East. It's not about sides, it's about humanity. And as someone who's not a religious person, but I am spiritual, and I've made this public before, my children have, they're very lucky, they've got 8 godparents who are best friends of ours, and they are all from different racial, religious and non-religious backgrounds. That is not by design, it's just because we connect in terms of values and friendship, and it's coincidence. But I guess over the years, seeing patients day in, day out, I have had a feeling that people that have faith, or people of faith, seem, and I say that carefully, seem to have not just better outcomes, but a better journey in terms of their health. Now, is that something I'm imagining as a sort of an operator observation, if you like? Not sure. So I wanted to look at it in terms of what's going on if faith is of benefit. Now, before I go into kind of papers and evidence, just my own experience, I can think of so many patients over the years, one who passed away a few years ago, who had a very strong connection with his church, and he was dying of metastatic prostate cancer, but was always cheerful to the end. And I'll never forget him. He used to just have this ability to be grateful for the fact he was still alive. And even patients who had really difficult, unfair diagnoses where their lives ended far too young, seemed, if they had faith, to have more kind of calm acceptance, I guess is how I'd put it. But if we look at the hard stats in terms of prayer and whether prayer works in terms of health outcomes, the short answer is that it doesn't. So there was quite a large study in 2006, costing a couple of million pounds, that looked at heart surgery patients, and they were split into groups. Some of them knew that they were being prayed for, others didn't, and there was no difference really in their outcomes. And other studies have shown mixed results. Now that's prayer, that's not faith necessarily. And prayer, I guess, is a function of faith. But if we go back to this idea of the individual and health, and when I say health, I mean physical and mental health, those examples I gave a minute ago were very much mental functions. The people I was describing seemed to benefit mentally from prayer. And in some ways, prayer is a little bit like cognitive behavioral therapy, in that you have your own mechanisms internally of putting your experience into context, focusing on positive thoughts, you know, being grateful, and rather than catastrophizing about what might happen, you shift your focus. But we all know that, you know, there is good and bad in terms of religion and people that follow religion and their own attitudes to how they feel about their relationship with either their religion or with God. And I want to bring in here the work of Tanya Lerman, who wrote a book called How God Becomes Real. She's an anthropologist from Stanford. And she makes a really interesting point. So if you are a person of faith, or you're a believer in God, if you feel that God is judgmental and it's all about rights and wrongs, that can actually lead to mental distress. And I've definitely seen that before. Shame, guilt, remorse, and that cycle that people often go through. But the flip side is that if you have a relationship with God where there's implicit trust, you know, and this isn't, and she mentions that this doesn't include, you know, the mundane things that happen to us day to day. It's more about, oh, it's God's will, or let's trust in God, and, you know, whatever will be because it's God's will. That kind of relationship, when they look at the activity of the brain on MRI, is very similar to talking to a friend. And it's almost comparable to using your imagination, what Lerman calls an enlightenment mindset, rather than quite rigid, focused scientific thought. It all sounds a bit fluffy, I agree, but at the same time makes complete sense. What about people that don't believe? Can they have faith in something? You know, and I remember years ago, I was in a meeting at work, and someone I used to work with was a religious person and a person of faith, and made what I thought was a bit of a despicable comment, which is that, well, you know, even atheists have views, don't they? You know, as in atheists were people that could be ignored. And I didn't take kindly to this, and, you know, confronted this person and said to them, look, you know, if I said that you spent time with imaginary friends whenever you prayed, you'd take offence, wouldn't you? And actually, we had a frank conversation, and the point about being spiritual or having faith in a higher power or faith in yourself, that is a very similar thing to God. And my explanation of this is what I understand to be consciousness. And what I mean by that is that consciousness is not something that is within your mind or body. It's something that's separate, but has an effect on your mind and body. Now, that's just my feeling and my definition, but what I'm describing probably isn't too different to what, you know, people think of as God. I call it consciousness, you know, and I'm not labelling it as God. But, and of course, I'm talking about spiritual consciousness, not the physiological definition when you go to an A&E department or a hospital and they want to check how awake you are. It's interesting because, you know, the broader definition of faith, when you think about how people think and their mindset, leads to positive thinking. And there aren't that many studies out there about positive thinking and health outcomes. There's a small one that I'm going to link to in the show notes. But what's interesting is the variables that they looked at, and they're really interesting, actually. This is sort of a group of characteristics or behaviours that people who thought positively, you know, were scored on. So it's called the positive thinking inventory, and they look at self-acceptance, positive relationships with others, environmental mastery, purpose in life, personal growth, autonomy, and then something called the health-promoting lifestyle profile. And that includes physical activity, nutrition, stress management, health responsibility, and again, relations and social support, but also spiritual growth. And it was actually significant, not massively, but in terms of having a positive outlook, being a predictor of healthy lifestyle habits, and therefore kind of preventing chronic disease. Not totally surprising. What is slightly surprising to me is about this idea of mindset. And I'm going to wrap this up with my, you know, I like to put health into context, and I like to put research into context so that it's useful. There is some evidence that actually thinking in a certain way can affect your health. So, for example, hotel staff, hotel housekeepers, are on the go all day. But in interviews, they don't think of that as being active. And people who think of themselves as old when they're young were more likely to have heart problems than if they thought, you know, an older person was 70 or over rather than, say, 60 or over. Interesting. And I guess, you know, it's a difficult one because the data here is not clear. And whatever your views are about your health and your own well-being, and whatever your personal stance is on religion or faith, if we wrap all of those things up together, then it's pretty obvious that having faith in something can orientate your thinking to benefit your mental health that probably benefits your physical health.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And if the only thing that it does is just makes you a better you in terms of improving your habits, and that thing that I mentioned about Tanya Lerman saying that let's leave the weather to God, but, you know, you don't leave feeding the cat to God. That kind of relationship that, you know, that God is your friend, or that if you're not a religious person like myself, then that, you know, your consciousness and the kind of forces of the universe, whatever you want to call them, are in a position of trust. Then in terms of your, you know, psychoneuroimmunology or psychological state, you are much more likely to be primed and in a better place than someone who's constantly not thinking like that. There are other variables as well. I've thought about this, and I've often spoken about the power of community and connection. And often that happens in places like churches or synagogues or mosques or temples. And, you know, that also has an effect on, you know, meaning that someone isn't lonely. And so we can call it faith or religion or prayer, but we've got to remember there are other things going on there, like groups and communities that are interlinked to this idea of faith and health. occasionally people will tell me about miracle stories, and I've heard them all, you know, trips to Lourdes and holy water and other things. And what I would say is that for every one person that you hear that, you know, an illness has disappeared, there's another perfectly healthy person who just drops dead for no reason. And I think it's difficult to talk about this subject in a really scientific, rugged, evidence-based way. It's more in that realm of feeling better and orientating yourself towards A, acceptance, and B, giving yourself the best chance you have to be, you know, it sounds so cheesy, the best you in terms of your behaviours and what you're doing. I'm going to finish with a quote. I haven't done one in a while, and I do, although they can be quite cheesy, I do like a good one that makes you think. I think the sort of era that we live in, we see so much of it now. It just, you know, it's easy to roll your eyes and think, oh, I've heard that one before. And although I'm not a person of faith, as I said before, I am going to actually leave you with a quote by Buddha, and of course many of you will know his story, which I absolutely love. But this was a quote by him, and it is this: the secret of health for both mind and body is to live the present moment wisely and earnestly. And I know that might sound a bit serious, but actually what he's talking about is being in the moment and making the most of it. And I think, you know, I've said that before, so many other people have said it, Eckhart Tolle, Gabor Mate, you name it, just savour every minute. And going back to the beginning, what I said about what's going on planet Earth at the moment means we need to do that more than ever and appreciate every second. Okay, that's it. I hope that was useful and enlightening in some way, shape or form. Are you a person of faith? Are you someone that thinks it's important in terms of health outcomes on a personal level? Do let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And until next time, thank you again for listening. Do look after yourself. Take care. Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.